the whole 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download this podcast wherever you get your podcast. That, of course, being the Fantasy Focus. Mike Field, Stefania here today with Daniel as well. It is Thursday, December 16th, and we are going to do our usual Thursday show. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Great sweater for Mike.
Thank you. This is, you can't really see the whole thing. Let's see if I can get it.
There you go. The mic is perfectly located right now.
This is my Christmas episode, right?
Oh, nice.
You guys are on a few more. I'm not going to be here next week because we don't have the Thursday and Friday episode. So this is my Christmas episode, my holiday episode. I had to bring out the sort of ugly sweater.
It's holiday like attire. T-shirt. Great call by Mike. Next week we have shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Stefania, good morning to you.
Good morning. I was going to say, like, is it still morning? Because I've been up since... Like, I've been up for so many hours. Oh, I thought it was afternoon, and that just tells you where I'm at.
Morning.
It tells you where my head is right now.
Technically, it is morning, but at some point, time became relative. About, right. I don't know, like 20 months ago, time became relative. We're going to dive.
Just you wait, Field. Come January 22nd, you're going to not know what time of day it is after
time
that.
It's getting close. It is getting very close. We're going to get to a bunch of updates on injuries and, of course, Thursday Night Football preview and wide receiver cornerback matches. But the news of the day in the NFL... Daniel Dopp, before I get into that, is what?
Yeah, before we get into the news today for the NFL, I just want to say, Field, you and I said this yesterday on the show.
Yeah,
just want
call.
To quickly call out again. Thousands have been affected by southern and midwestern tornadoes. If you would like to help, please visit redcross.org/ESPN. That is redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond and help people recover from this disaster. We are only a few days away from Christmas, and so many people lost their homes, lost so much of what they had, so many kids that were affected by this. So please, if you can give, we would love it. Redcross.org/ESPN to help others out that are in need right now. And that is it, Field. I just want to make sure that we touched on that really quickly. We mentioned it yesterday, and obviously it's something that we're going to be thinking about throughout the entire holiday season.
Cannot mention it enough. Certainly the people in all regions that were impacted by this terrible, terrible disaster deserve as much generosity as we can provide to them. Great call by you, Daniel, in mentioning that. Every time we bring that up, I always find it difficult to find a way to move on from that to something else. And there's no good way to move on from that to the news of the day in the NFL, which broke around 12:35 a.m. this morning, or 12:35, right after midnight on the East Coast last night. And that comes from Adam Schefter, that the Jaguars have made the decision to fire their head coach, Urban Meyer, after 13 games. That's right, 13 games for Urban Meyer. He was hired this year. He has already been fired. The much acclaimed and ballyhooed decision to hire Urban Meyer has come to an abrupt end, as he is now no longer the Jaguars head coach. Mike, it's more of a football story than a fantasy football story, but is there any tie to the fantasy football at all?
I don't think so. Keep
what?
In mind. No,
are you serious?
I don't think it'll affect things short term.
Hold on.
I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Not really. I want to tell you why first.
Matthew, geez.
I'm sorry. I'm fired up about this. Daryl Bevel is going to take over as the interim head coach. And guess who's there? Marvin Jones, somebody that he has known for a very long time. If there was a place that he was going to go, I think that Marvin Jones and James Robinson both would have slight increases. But that's just me. I'm no Mike Clay.
Slight increases. So that's a game changer for you? That's gonna make or break your fantasy decisions?
I'll make or break your fantasy face, Mike Clay.
Wow. Okay. Tell him, Dan. You tell him.
Whoa. Them's somebody's really words. Invested in the Jags here. You want to really do that? Is this where you want to plant your flag on the Jags offense?
No, I'm going to stick with Saquon Barkley this year.
Well, here's the thing.
Sorry.
Daniel, bringing the smoke.
What do you have? 21 fans?
It's still the morning, Daniel.
I know. I'm sorry, guys.
It's
I'm
the
feisty.
Holiday season, Christmas, and love and joy.
Yeah, I'm Santa
that.
Mike.
Not prison Mike today. That's my bad.
So I can't say anything to me. But although he did have 21 points last week. But anyway, Daryl Bevel, right? You mentioned Daryl Bevel.
I did.
He's already been calling the plays all season, right? So do we expect any sizable changes? I mean, maybe he goes and says, all right, listen, I want 80% of the snaps for Robinson going forward, right?
Or sounds lovely.
Yeah.
For sure. That would be great. Maybe. But that's, you know, so he goes from 65 to 80%. You know, I mean, maybe that's a slight boost for him. He does have a good matchup this week, so I already do like him anyway as a pretty good RB2. And you're right. Maybe they do try to manufacture touches for Jones and Chenault. But honestly, especially with Chenault, they've tried to do that already over the past month. You've seen pretty decent target shares. It just hasn't worked out. So I expect them to tweak a couple small things, but it doesn't, a change doesn't always mean they're going to flourish. Just look at the New York Giants, right? We thought that would be better moving on from
Jason Garrett. That one.
But it hasn't been. My point is, everyone thought, you know, if you read, you know, football, Twitter, whatever, I mean, everything's going to be better. It hasn't been better at all.
Mike Clay. What? Because I'll tell you why. Because some of the time when I don't know that even though Daryl Bevel's been making the calling the plays, he hasn't been able to have the personnel all the time because, like, James Robinson was forcibly kept on the bench when he could have been out there. I think the one intangible thing that you can't really quantify is how the room will rise. You know, how these players who have had, you know, it's no secret, all the things that have been going on. And does it elevate the way that they feel going into this game? And I think sometimes, you know, people make fun of us talking about like emotion or the solidarity. I think there's something to that at times. Mm-hmm. And I think that potentially you're going to see some of that here. I like James Robinson this week.
Yeah, I was previously skeptical on James Robinson yesterday when I was like, I am a little bit lower than normal. And the reason was like, I have no idea what to expect with Urban Meyer as their head coach. So I might modify my rankings just a little bit and slide them up maybe 3 or 4 spots. But I am not talking about a seismic shift. I think
right.
if anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Slight boot. Slight, a couple spots.
Yeah, no, I get it.
A little more confidence.
So I'm no Daniel. I'm agreeing with you.
Right. Okay.
I'm
agreeing. All right. We're on the same page. All right.
So
have you calmed down now? You okay over there?
I can't wait for the DFS podcast later.
Does anybody start all you, Daniels?
His lineup's going to be Lawrence, Robinson, Jones, Chanel, James O'Shaughnessy, Jags. He's
going to have $20,000 left over and not
that's
care
right.
about it. Doesn't matter. Like, yeah, I'll spend the, I'll deliver the rest of that. I don't know.
49-0. They're beating Houston.
That's so good.
I'm going to go around the room. Does anybody have a name in mind that think should be the Jaguars' target as head coach or like a general sort of pocket of coaches you think would make sense?
Yeah.
Don't all jump at the same time.
Because if I say Byron Leftwich, but I was actually I was listening to Bill Barnwell's podcast mm-hmm. this morning. And when they were talking, this was before, obviously recorded before the news. He was talking about Byron Leftwich potentially as a replacement in Chicago. Should things change there? And just talking about him and kind of got him in my mindset. And then this opportunity opened up and I thought, well, this makes all the sense in the world in terms of mm-hmm. him going back to Jacksonville, et cetera. Yep. So it to me, that's sort of the one that jumps to mind.
Yeah, okay. I like that a lot. I'd throw Eric Bieniemy in there. I mean, that's going to be a hot name for sure. And I think they had a chance to do that last offseason and they did not, right? So he's stuck in Kansas City. And you know, they've had their ups and downs this season in a very awkward situation there with a unique situation with so much cover two. We've talked about that a lot this year, but they've battled through it and they're winning games. Right. So I think he's done a nice job at that team and perhaps could be a good fit. Certainly a guy that it deserves a lot of interviews this offseason.
What about you, Field? Excuse me.
No.
I was going to say, and I don't think he's a head coaching candidate, but like, I freaking love Kellen Moore and I can't wait for the opportunity for him to get a chance. I think that he has a shot, but I think I'm with you guys. Like everything lines up for Byron Leftwich going back to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Funny. So the reason why, like, I'm hesitant, like I don't have like a very specific name is because I think that if we've learned one thing over the past, you name the number of years, is that like one thing the general public is really poor at is assessing head coaching hires, right? The ones that tend to be the most, of course, right? The ones that seem to be the most applauded are often the ones that burn down within a couple of years, right? Urban Meyer being a good example. Meanwhile, everybody thought the Packers were bizarre for getting really aggressive and hiring Matt LaFleur as the first head coach during that head coaching cycle. Mm-hmm. And you hired a guy who couldn't get the Titans offense out of like the bottom five in rushing. He's been unbelievably successful, right? So like, I don't know that I have a perfect answer. I think all the names you guys have mentioned, I think Josh McDaniels, I think Brian Daboll, I think it behooves them to think deep, to think offense, just because you have a young quarterback. I know there's been some, I think there are some coaches that have been out of the league for a year that I think will draw some interest as well. Multiple years, like Marvin Lewis, I think will be on the radar. Jim Caldwell, I know, has been mentioned recently.
Jim Caldwell,
you know,
is somebody that
men, right?
I think belongs back in a head coaching position. Mm-hmm. The reason Byron Leftwich just, it made sense. You're like, talk about an organization that needs some goodwill and some embracing from the fans. And, you know, there's just a connection there. It's different.
Sure. Totally.
Do you remember when back-to-back 9-7 seasons for Jim Caldwell wasn't enough and he needed to be let go?
Yeah. Do you remember that, Daniel? Like you're the Lions. You're the tortured Lions fan here.
Remember
that
field.
I think Kevin James would be a good one too.
I love him on King of Queens.
Yeah, and he played Sean Payton, right? So he's as good a coach as Sean Payton.
Well, while we're at it, let's bring Ted Lasso in.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah, that's the winner. Yeah,
I'll just say this. We'll close it here. Jaguars fans, like, you deserve better because, I think about loyal fan bases. Lions, the Browns, the Jaguars, like, you guys have been through not even thick and thin, because doesn't thick or thin suggest, like, you've had the good times too?
That you've had the thick. Or whichever one is the good one.
Whichever one's the good one you've had, right? Like, Jaguars fans have just had the thin. Like, or if that's the bad side of it, right? There was that 2017 season, which makes no sense to me whatsoever still.
Bortles.
All these years later.
Bortles.
Hire Bortles.
They deserve better.
Ted Lasso, already been to London. Established over in London.
Yeah,
so
I think
we can make a really good case for Ted Lasso being a good.
There we go.
I want to mention one thing here really quickly, Field, and then we got to move on because we got a bunch of news and stuff we want to talk about too. But Stefania, I wanted to throw some at you because Field and I talked about this yesterday. A lot of COVID updates this year. One of the things that happened at the beginning of the year, actually, I remember watching Fantasy Football Now. Your big storyline was talking about how in 2021, in week one, you said COVID is not over. It is still going to be here for the entire season. Here we are now in week 15, and we're in another situation where we're still being impacted by this. Understanding all the things that have gone in the NFL, are there any updates or things that we should be looking at as fantasy managers heading into the fantasy playoff, given all of the things that have transpired lately?
So the first thing I want to say off the top is, what we see in the NFL is a reflection of, it's always going to be a reflection of sort of the world at large. And as different variants arrive and as there is more presence of COVID in the community at large, there's more presence in the NFL. So that should not surprise us. Also, vaccination has never been a 100% solution to testing positive for COVID, but the idea behind vaccination is to mitigate the responses, to help reduce the spread, et cetera. So don't be surprised when vaccinated individuals test positive for COVID, as we've seen many, many times recently. And apparently this latest Omicron variant is more contagious. So those things being said, I would also say everything is fluid. And the NFL has maintained that. The NFL and the NFLPA have said since the beginning that they would react and respond based on the best scientific data available. And in conjunction with that, there were meetings being held yesterday with the NFL and their experts, the NFLPA, their representatives, and their medical experts, going back and forth about what were the current protocols, whether there would be any changes to those protocols. And Alan Sills, the medical director for the NFL, addressed the media yesterday and said the discussions are ongoing. So as of right now, there is no change in what the protocols currently are, but everyone should stay tuned. We will, of course, update you here if there are changes in the rules. I think one of the big things is for roster, you just need to know who's playing. And right now, as it stands, 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday is the latest day to make roster activations for Sunday games. On Monday, Thursday, and now Saturday, because we have Saturday games this week, it's 4 p.m. of the same day. That being said, anyone who tests positive can be removed at any time, and Monday night should serve as a good example that players who tested positive were taken out for a game that day. So you just have to stay really vigilant. Stay tuned to the news. Field Yates is breaking news all the time about the latest transactions and what's happening on the wire, so you should follow him. And we'll give you more detailed updates on the COVID process as we learn them.
Yeah, that part you made, Stefania, about how players must be activated by 4 p.m. on the day of Monday, Thursday, Saturday, or Saturday for a Sunday game is so important. But like Sunday morning, you could wake up and find that a guy's been sent to the COVID list. You just can't have someone brought back from the COVID list at like 11:30 on a Sunday morning. So we'll continue to do our best to monitor all the COVID updates.
And I will say this, one of the things that is being discussed is whether that could change. In other words, how long to bring players back. We know right now we talk about for vaccinated players, two tests, 24 hours apart that are negative, PCR tests that are negative following a positive test. Again, these are part of the ongoing discussion. So whatever is the rules as of right now, be aware that that could change within hours. Within the same day, if not sooner. Like by the time you listen to this podcast, something could be announced. So just stay vigilant in terms of what is the latest news. And again, Follow Field Yates. He's got it covered.
Mm-hmm. 3.5 weeks left in the NFL's regular season. Hopefully things get better after 85 players were placed on the COVID-19 list Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. We'll keep you updated with all the latest. And let's go from COVID to injury news. And Stefania, the Cardinals have dealt with life without DeAndre Hopkins for quite a while so far this season. And it sounds like they are going to have to get used to that.
Yeah, this is really tough for DeAndre Hopkins, a guy who never missed time. Maybe, yeah. You know, he rarely missed time in his entire career because of injury. When we saw him back in the Houston days, he would often miss multiple practices during the week, and he really knew how to manage his body. But the hamstring injury really was a tough one for him, and who knows if that potentially set up it to be easier for him to get injured. This time, it looked to be when he was making that attempt to catch in the end zone late in the game. He kind of stayed down on all fours, got up slowly. Now we understand it's a knee sprain. He is done for the regular season. Now for the Cardinals, they hope that they can get him back in their postseason run. But for fantasy purposes, you will not have DeAndre Hopkins.
So for anybody who has him on their roster, was it a keeper league, you can safely drop DeAndre Hopkins now for the Arizona Cardinals. Mike, is there anybody that you expect to step up? Or is this like what we discussed on yesterday's show where it could be AJ Green. It mm-hmm. could be Christian Kirk. It could be Antoine Wesley. It mm-hmm. could be Rondale Moore. You just don't know which one it'll be in a given week.
Yeah, that, and I think it's maybe a slight increase for everyone, right? Because you have a distribution of about 20 to 22% of the targets that's going to be spread over these guys. So, but keep this in mind. It's not going to be, like, naturally you think, okay, AJ Green is on the perimeter. You're going to have Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore, those three on the field together. No, they're not. I mean, we've already seen this earlier this season. DeAndre Hopkins was out. They put Antoine Wesley in that left wide receiver perimeter spot, right? It's a very unique offense where you have a position. Wesley covers that spot. So barring some surprising change, that's what they'll do here. So look, Wesley was not targeted very much, about 3 or 4 a game. So I'm not too worried about him from a fantasy perspective. Not a guy you have to run out and get. But I do think, though their snap counts might not change significantly, you'll see a little boost for Kirk. Maybe he's more of a secure fringe wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3 now. AJ Green, you can feel a little better as a flex. Same thing with Rondale Moore. Now, if you look at just at his target share, yeah. When Hopkins was out, it was around 19%. It was a big boost, but a lot of that was in one game, right? So his targets are still kind of suspect. I don't feel super great about him, but again, he is at least in the flex conversation. Also, you feel a little better about Zach Ertz as a fringe tight end 1. I was a little nervous about his targets, right? So I think that's it. I think it's those 20% basically,
like, divvied up evenly.
A small, maybe 8% goes to Wesley. The rest are distributed across everyone else. So slight boost across the board.
Stefania, DK Metcalf, same division, same position, different team, obviously. What's going on with him right now?
Well, we know he's been on the injury report because of a foot injury since week 4, and we've seen him play through it, no issue. But yesterday, he had a back injury added to his status, and he was not participating. So this is something to watch. Don't have an idea yet of the severity of this. It's possible that he comes back in practices, and we're saying this was just more of a rest day proactively for him. But just note that he has 2 injuries now, not just 1.
Yeah, as you've noted throughout the season, like, they've been pretty good about Wednesday practice, Thursday rest, Friday practice, good to go by Sunday. We'll see whether that changes this week. Certainly have our eyes on that one for DK. The Seahawks are kind of clinging to life right now as far as the playoffs are concerned of the NFC. They've got a big game on Sunday against the Rams. Aaron Jones, Stefania, he was recently dealing with a knee injury. Is he okay now?
Well, still limited in practice, listed because of the knee. That was the sprained MCL he had in week 10. Remember, he missed a game. He came back, but we've sort of seen the distribution of the work. You know, A.J. Dillon's been getting plenty of work there, and you wonder if Aaron Jones is not quite 100%.
Yeah, it certainly would seem that way with A.J. Dillon basically being the lead back over the past 5 or so weeks. But if Aaron Jones misses time this upcoming Sunday, it could be a RB1 type week for A.J. Dillon. Tony Pollard, Stefania, missed this past week's game with a plantar fascia issue. Any chance he is practicing yet for the Cowboys?
Well, he hasn't practiced yet. It's interesting because Mike McCarthy said they feel, quote, a lot better about his chances for this week compared to last week. But last week he also said he thought he was going to play, and he really didn't come close to playing, it sounds like. So I'd be, again, torn plantar fascia is a really painful injury. And without him testing it much, he was reportedly doing rehab work on the side and working with the medical staff. But, you know, I want to see it. I think the chatter sounds more encouraging, but you want to know that he can really get out there and run. That's not going to be a problem. This is still going to be like just 2 weeks removed from a partial tear in the plantar fascia.
And as we know, Zeke has been busy for the Cowboys, but he's also been banged up himself. So peak Zeke may be a thing of the past now. Darren Waller, Stefania, went from week to week to day to day to not practicing for two straight weeks. Like, what's going on there with him?
Yeah, I think they're not telling us much, but his absence is speaking volumes. I mean, obviously they're so much better with him on the field, and he hasn't been spotted in practice yet. So I think you still need to be concerned about the availability of Darren Waller.
By the way, Saturday game for the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike, would you play Foster Moreau on Saturday, or do you feel like the ship has sailed on him as a potential tight end option?
I don't think so. He's played 91% of the snaps the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Remember, Waller went down early in that first game, so it's really been three games. He's played a full-time role. He has 10 fantasy points total. So it's just not happening. A handful of targets a game. If you start him, you're praying for a touchdown. It's just not happening.
Which they have tried him in the end zone a couple of times over these past couple of weeks, so there's a glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, the efficiency has not been there. If the Raiders don't win on Saturday, they would fall to 6-8. I wonder if we see Darren Waller again this season.
Yeah.
Because they would effectively be, I mean, they would not literally be out of the playoff race, but they would effectively be out of the playoff race with their losses to so many teams that are in that playoff mix. Like, and I'm not a doctor, obviously. I'm not even close to that. Not Stefania by any metric. But Darren Waller, got to look out for the better, for the bigger picture here, for his health long term. We'll come back and preview Thursday Night Football, and it might be the best Thursday Night Football game of the season in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do. Everybody said yes, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Stefania's like, yeah, I'm doing it this week. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to, and somehow can feel like we need more haircuts than we actually have time for. Luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can just use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you, and you can check in or just walk in. Another great bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's obviously always super solid thanks to Supercut's highly trained stylists. Get in, get out, and get to that thing you needed a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good, Supercut's makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercut's. Check in now on the Supercut's app or on supercuts.com.
Time now for a Thursday Night Football preview. And again, potentially the best Thursday Night Football game of the season. Easy enough for me to say. I almost knocked my mic into my face. The Chiefs traveled to Los Angeles to play against the Chargers. Both teams have met once this year. The Chargers won in Arrowhead, which means if they win tonight, they take over the AFC West lead and would have effectively a one-game advantage over the Chiefs because they would have swept the season series. Meanwhile, if Kansas City wins tonight, you might as well start printing the hats and t-shirts for them for yet another AFC West crown. On the Chiefs side, we talked about this a couple of days ago, Mike, whether or not Patrick Mahomes needs to be considered as someone that you could bench this week in fantasy, as crazy as that may sound. How confident are you in Patrick Mahomes tonight against the Chargers?
Well, I have him ranked 6, right? Okay. So I think if I have him, I am starting him. But there's reason to be concerned here, right? So, look, he's the number 5 scoring fantasy quarterback this season, right? Not usually what we expect from him. We expect him to be a little bit higher. But check this out. He's had 14 or fewer fantasy points in 5 of his last 7 games. The only exceptions were against the cover 3 Raiders. We talked about that as a good matchup because the Raiders just haven't adjusted to what has slowed down the Chiefs this season. So again, those are the only 2 games that he's had that have been good over his last 7 games. Check this out too. I looked back at his career resume, right? He has 0 or 1 total touchdowns in 17 of 67 career games, right? So under 2 in 17 of 67 games. 5 of them have come since week 7, right? So he is definitely not the usual dominant Patrick Mahomes that we're used to. He had 3 touchdowns and 2 picks when these teams did play earlier this season, just south of 23 fantasy points. So he was decent in that game against the Chargers defense. It's been really good. 6 fewest fantasy points a quarterback so far this season, 4th fewest passing yards. So a little nervous about the recent struggles, but he's probably going to have to throw a lot in this game. He hasn't had to throw much the last 2 weeks. They were ahead, but you weigh the pluses and minuses. I think he falls in there as a mid-range QB1. So again, I'm not going to get overly bold here. I'm not going to start Taysom Hill or Tua in a good matchup over him. I'm going to start Patrick Mahomes in almost every situation.
I'm starting him as well, as crazy as that may seem. I'm going
not
on
crazy
a limb
at all.
And starting Patrick Mahomes. I said my logic just yesterday was basically like, their defense has been so good recently. They haven't had to worry about the offense as much. Yeah. Like, and they just like if they're challenged a bit tonight, can Matt will Patrick Mahomes have to not play catch up, but at least keep the Chiefs ahead if Justin Herbert and the Chargers are meshing well offensively. As far as the running backs are concerned right now in Kansas City, Mike, we all have Clyde Edwards-Helaire ahead of Darrell Williams. Is that because you think he's the better bet to score a touchdown, or is it because it's something you've seen over the past few weeks?
Definitely what we've seen the past few weeks. I mean, his production, right? He's been RB22 in fantasy or better in his last five full games, right? So the production has been good. At worst, he's been an RB2, 15 plus fantasy points in four of his last five games. And by the way, when they played in week 3, that was one of his good games, right? He had 100 rushing yards in that game. Also had a touchdown reception in that one. So he was pretty good the last time he faced this defense. He's been effective. He's been a high floor player. And it's a really good matchup against the Chargers. Fifth most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season. They've allowed at least one running back touchdown in 9 consecutive games, right? So that, again, makes you feel a little bit better about CEH. And as for Darrell Williams, he has 19 touches in 3 games since Edwards-Helaire came back. 19, that's not very
not
many,
much,
obviously.
Yeah.
You don't want to start him. I mean, it's not even close. Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs have told us time and time and time again that he is their clear lead back. Every time we're like, well, maybe Williams will play more now, right? No, every time he comes back and he's the clear feature back in this offense. So why should we expect that to change, considering he's playing pretty well, actually, the last few weeks?
And at this point, we certainly should not. Talk me into or out of starting Tyreek Hill tonight. Again, this sounds ridiculous, but over his past 4 games... excuse me, his past 5 games, he's been outside the top 43 times, 60% of the time.
Yeah, it's been a little boom bust, but he's still up there. He's the number 4 scorer for the season for a reason, right? Yeah. He can give you that explosive play at any given point. 9 total targets the last 2 games, yes. But again, remember, they were really low volume games to your point. They were ahead, and you look at Patrick Mahomes, you know, pass attempts by game, those were his two of his lowest games of the season the last 2 weeks, right? We don't expect that game script in this sort of game against a good Chargers team. He did have 9 plus targets in his previous 8 games before this recent 2-game stretch. So, you know, the Chargers don't allow many touchdowns, only 6 to receivers. There's reason to downgrade him a little bit, but it's Tyreek Hill. The guy is just too good. He's done it too many times. Imagine being in the playoffs, putting him on your bench and he catches a 2 touchdowns like he does so often.
I'm sure
you can't do it. There's no way. Who are you starting over him? Like Albert Wilson? Like how deep are we going here? Like you're not.
I know.
No way.
You're being pragmatic. I'm being emotional because that's what happens in fantasy football. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, this guy's been bad recently. I should be putting him on my bench. You should not with Tyreek Hill, nor should you with Travis Kelce. Consensus number 2 tight end this week on ESPN. Probably hasn't been many weeks where he hasn't been the number 1 tight end. Probably over the past 3 or 4 years, he's been unbelievable, Mike, even with back-to-back duds. He's been 3 for 27 in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and again, the 2 duds in the low-volume games, right? Yeah. But before that, he was a top 3 fantasy football tight end 3 straight weeks, right? So it's not like this has been going on for a long time. He was the top 3 scorer 3 consecutive weeks before these 2 duds. So I'm still confident. He's still number 1 among tight ends in top 10 fantasy weeks. He's 9 of those this season. But the thing is, the problem he's had this year is he's just not getting the ball near the goal line. I think you've tweeted about this before, right? He has 6 touchdowns. He's lucky to have that. He's 115th in expected touchdowns in the NFL at 3.1. He's 1 end zone target.
One end zone target.
160 players have more than 1 end zone target. But it is a good matchup, by the way. He had 104 yards in the first matchup. Didn't score, but Jody Fortson, their backup tight end, did find the end zone in that game. And the Chargers allowed the 6 most fantasy points to tight end. So, reason for optimism that he'll have a bounce back week. And if you're in the playoffs here with Kelce, you're hoping for that.
A couple of days ago, I was trying to recall Jody Fortin's name. I said Jody Foster instead.
Jody Foster.
Basically the same person,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
basically, yeah.
Let's
same
move
job,
forward
yeah.
to the Chargers. And we have a huge injury question mark for Los Angeles tonight, Stefania. On the offensive side of the ball, there are a few on defense as well, but specifically Austin Eckler. What do we expect out of him tonight?
Yeah, I was just checking his Instagram before you came to me this season.
Just in case.
It's a good source.
He's been so good. He's been so good. And he obviously big supporter of fantasy football and has at times posted things like it's game day. He said something about game day, but not related to his status. So keep an eye out for Austin Eckler, but it does sound like he is going to play. He's been banged up with the ankle issue. Brandon Staley sounded optimistic that he would go. They talked about a pregame workout for him. I think that's one of those you just want to confirm that he's good to go, that he can run. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network said he's told that Austin Eckler will indeed play tonight. There's some question about his workload. Austin Eckler is one of those guys, when he's out there, and he's running well. And I've talked about this before with players. Sometimes it is a situation where they don't go in with a defined workload per se. They want to see how the player responds. If he's a little bit less than 100%, how does he look running? When he comes off the field, is he complaining? Does something happen with the ankle, or is he saying, no, I'm good? And then they let him go more. So I don't know how the game flow is going to go with him, but it'd be really hard for me to sit Austin Ekeler tonight, assuming he plays.
Not an exact carbon copy, but there are some similar principles in play as there were last week when we were wondering about Dalvin Cook, right? And the reason I say that is if I have Austin Ekeler in a league and he's active tonight, I'm playing him unless we get a very concrete report before the game that says Austin Ekeler will be limited to 15 snaps or emergency use only. Last week, it worked out in the most perfect of ways. Dalvin Cook was the highest scoring running back for the week. I'm not necessarily saying that's going to happen with Austin Ekeler tonight, Mike, but if he plays, I have him, I'm playing him, and feeling good about it unless I am told that there's going to be some sort of significant snap count issue.
Yeah, and the example on the other side would be Darrell Henderson, right? You know, and when he was just the emergency running back. So that's what you're watching for. You have to keep this right up to game time, you know, 5 minutes before game time. Watch those reports. There's reporters on site at the game that could get a scoop at the last second, and you can make a last second switch. So keep an eye on that. I think if there's a report that he'll be somewhat limited, you know, maybe a little bit more, they're going to use Justin Jackson to carry the ball more. Fine, you're still starting Austin Ekeler. Keep in mind the the Chiefs' strength. They don't face a lot of running back carries, right? They haven't allowed much in that department. It's in the passing game that they've been really beat up. They're near the top of the board in pretty much every category. That's where Eckler's awesome, right? Sure. So. Yeah. That's kind of what you're hoping for. Even if he is limited to some extent, you hope he finds the end zone and you hope he sees, I don't know, 8 to 10 carries and maybe 6 or 7 targets. And find, you know, if he finds the end zone, it's fine, right? So are you going to, again, just like the conversation we had with Tyreek Hill, do you have an better alternative to that? You know, and a 70% of Austin Ekeler on your bench? I doubt it. I doubt you have that on your bench.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time there was a big question about him coming into a game and we talked about him being at practice, even though he wasn't doing much, he was observing from the side. He got in and it was on, I think it was a passing situation, scored early in the game.
Yes.
You know, and that's exactly the threat that he brings, which makes it hard to sit him.
It's very hard to sit Austin Ekeler. And by the way, both teams are dealing with some injury issues on both sides of the ball, but the Chiefs defensively will be with almost assuredly without Chris Jones, perhaps their best defensive player. Willie Gay, a starting linebacker, and also L'Jarius Sneed, who is out again due to a personal issue.
And
so perhaps some big plays.
On the offensive side, no Josh Gordon for the Chiefs.
That's right. No Josh Gordon for the Chiefs, who tested positive recently. And the Chargers are going to be without Rashawn Slater, their left tackle, because of a COVID issue. But let's get to the rest of the players.
Well, by the way, I just want a quick mention. Let's just say there's something pops up and they're like, well, Austin Ekeler's feeling too sore and he's out.
Yeah.
Justin Jackson, I think, is the guy you plug in as a flex.
I would play him as well,
yeah. I mean, I think that they'll use probably all three guys, Larry Roundtree, the rookie, Josh Kelly. But Jackson, and they've rotated these guys all season. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I could be wrong, but Jackson's been the two. I think he's the best back of the three.
Yep.
I think he would be the guy that has a shot at 12 to 15 carries and maybe a handful of targets. So, again, if even right now you might be thinking, I need someone for an emergency just to put on my bench just in case, I think Justin Jackson's the way to go.
There might be some additional security felt if Larry Roundtree is again a healthy scratch, which he was last week. Like, hey, if they're not even dressing him, they must feel pretty good about Austin Ekeler. So we'll keep an eye on the inactives around 7 p.m. Eastern time. Justin Herbert, Mike, has been really good. It's funny because he had sort of an uneven first 10 or 12 games to the season.
He did.
Not necessarily for fantasy. Like, he still hit the 10 or 11 point plateau every single time, but you're expecting like 25 or 30 points in a week from Justin Herbert. He's been much better of late. He's been a highlight machine for the Chargers, and he's been doing it without Keenan Allen for a game here. He's been doing it without some key players along the offensive line. Like, he's been spectacular. He's in for a big night tonight, you think? Or can this Chiefs defense neutralize him?
Yeah, and Rashawn Slater out tonight too, right? Rashawn That's Slater's obviously out. A big loss, but he will have Keenan Allen back, which helps the cause. 19-plus fantasy points in 4 straight. So to your point, he's been good as of late. You know, remember how good he was last year? He threw 31 touchdowns. He's already up to 30 this year, right? He's just rolling right along. When these teams did play in week 3, he had no trouble. 4 touchdowns in that game, 31 fantasy points. So obviously he was good there. But I will point this out about the Chiefs. And you mentioned it before, Field, a little bit about how the Chiefs' pass defense is better, right? So during weeks 2 to 5, now they were good against Baker Mayfield week 1. We know he's not a very good fantasy quarterback. Weeks 2 through 5, right? That's 4 games. They allowed 28 fantasy points or more in all 4 of those games. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert. Obviously, really good fantasy quarterbacks. All of them reached 28. And that's when we thought, Chiefs defense just not very good, right? But you know, you look a little closer, you're thinking, well, they're playing superstars here week after week after week, and they were having good games. In eight games since that stretch, they're allowing 12.5 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. None have gone over 19 fantasy points. And obviously the competition was easier for the most part, but they did face Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. There were some good quarterbacks on that list, and they've been pretty good since then, right? We're going 2 months now where they haven't allowed a quarterback to reach 20 fantasy points. So I'm keeping that in mind if I'm breaking some ties, but you know, Herbert, again, he had success against him before. He's been so good as of late. I doubt you have a better quarterback option, despite, you know, the Chiefs' recent success.
I can't wait for this game. And part of the reason too, why is these two quarterbacks. I wonder if they'll bring out the best in each other. Patrick Mahomes, as the starting quarterback, has never lost a game on the road in the AFC West. The Chiefs have also won 12 straight games in December and January. Chargers better be up for the test tonight. Mm-hmm. Should be a very, very fun one. We have some breaking news coming to the show in just a few minutes, but let's finish up this game and then pick it as well. For the Chargers wide receiver, Stefania, Keenan Allen should be available tonight?
Yes. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list on December 6th, but we expect Keenan Allen to be back and available tonight.
He was activated off the list on Tuesday, which means he is likely to play tonight and perhaps without restriction. We have seen players that have missed time be limited in their return to the field, like Amari Cooper. The hope again tonight is that if there's reporting that tells you, like, hey, Keenan Allen has really is still dealing with potential ripple effects of COVID, or his conditioning is bad, whatever. Hopefully we get that kind of context. Hopefully there's no context, right? Hopefully he's fine and he was asymptomatic and had to deal with the virus per the protocols, but he's okay and good to go and plays his usual number of snaps. Until told otherwise, I've got him ranked where I normally do, which is inside my top 10 for wide receivers. Mike, again, this Chiefs secondary has been much better of late, but will not have L'Jarius Sneed, amongst others, on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's important because, he plays inside, right? You're going to move Rashad Fenton inside to the slot for this game with Sneed out, and that's where Keenan Allen lines up about two-thirds of the time. The Chiefs have been better against the perimeter than they have the slot, so that matters for sure. And yeah, but look, Allen's been so good anyway, it doesn't matter. You're starting him, right? He's number two. Remember, before the week 7 bye, he was struggling. He was 25th in fantasy points at wide receiver. He's number two in his 6 active weeks since that point. 8-plus targets in 11 of 12 games this season. And when these teams played earlier this season, he had success in that game. 8 for 50 and a touchdown. So again, nothing more to say there. It's Keenan Allen. If he's active, you start Keenan Allen.
How about Mike Williams, Mike, who last week was solid, but was kind of outshined by the two other wide receivers in Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer.
Yeah, and he was shadowed in that game. So tougher matchup. Those guys took advantage. Obviously, Herbert made that incredible throw to Guyton right for the long touchdown, which helped his cause. But yeah, I mean, look, Williams, again, quite the opposite of Keenan Allen. He's really fallen off since earlier this season. It's pretty dramatic, actually. If you look at the first 5 games, 10.2 targets per game, a little over 23 fantasy points per game, 4 top 15 fantasy finishes in his first 5 games. 8 games since then, down from 10.2 to 6.0 targets per game. Fantasy point total about cut in half, down to 10.1. No games over 8 targets, 1 top 20 a week, right? So it's hard to rank him much higher than 20th, right? That's where I have him right now. It's still Justin Herbert, still a situation where they're probably going to have to throw more than usual. It's unlikely to be a second half game script where you're just running the ball over and over, right? You're probably going to be throwing it a lot in this game. So he still does fall 20th for me. So I had 2 touchdowns when they played earlier this season.
Whatever it's worth, they have often brought out the best of Mike Williams. Yeah. Last year, he had in week 17, 6 for 108 and a touchdown. Remember a few years ago on Thursday Night Football, the best game of his career to that point came against the Chiefs. He had the touchdown and the 2-point conversion to win the game. Like, we'll see whether that continues or not, but Mike Williams has traditionally fared well against Kansas City. Jared Cook inside our top 20 for tight ends, but he's been sort of hit or miss throughout this season. 4 red zone and 3 end zone targets in week 14, but has largely been like inconsistent throughout the season. Again, find me a consistent tight end, not name like Kittle, Waller, Kelsey, Andrews, or a couple of others.
Yep. One fantasy top 10 since week 4, or one fantasy top 10 this season. That was in week 4, 5 or fewer targets in 7 straight. Again, back in week 3, he didn't actually do anything. He was one of the few that did not have a good game. 2 catches for 27 yards. You know, Chiefs haven't been great against tight ends, but it's Cook on the tight end 1 rate or no. Maybe if you're in a 16 teamer and you're missing Hockenson or Wall, or maybe you're desperate, but that's about it.
Breaking news coming up in just a moment after a live read from Daniel.
But before we do the live read, Field, we're going to pick this game.
How did I say that and I forgot to do it? All right. Damn it.
I love of you.
I'm picking the Chiefs. I love it too, buddy. I'm picking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs find a way to slow down this Chargers offense just a little bit tonight. I'm going with the Chiefs. I am going 30-28. Mike Clay, what say you?
26-25. Chargers.
Ooh, bolt up.
Chargers win. Stefania?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers at home in a close one, too.
Frisky. I like
love it. Love
Daniel?
It. I'm going to do the same thing for my buddy Tillian. He's a big Chargers fan, so I'm going to take the Chargers. Mike, you said 26-25. I'm going to take the over on your 51-point score tonight.
Okay.
Done. Yeah. There you have it. All right, so 3-1. I thought I'd be part of the masses. Instead, I am the odd person out here. I've got the Chiefs. The rest of you have the Chargers. We'll find out who was right or wrong in about 8.5 hours from right now. All right, live read. Breaking news coming up.
Speaking of this Thursday night football game, with the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, and every sideline grab, can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
We are back in breaking news and fantasy focus. The Dolphins are placing star rookie wide receiver Jalen Waddle on the reserve COVID-19 list. Just brutal news for Miami, who is already right now dealing with, at least as of this moment, Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, Philip Lindsay, already on the reserve COVID-19 list, to find out this bad situation has gotten worse.
Yeah, so the names, Philip Lindsay, who tested positive on December 13th, Savon Ahmed, December 11th, Miles Gaskin, December 10th. Those are all result of positive tests. We don't know about Jalen Waddle, just that he's been placed on the list as of today. Duke Johnson will play his first game as Miami Dolphin. Obviously, Duke Johnson from
You.
That's right. So he's excited to be playing at running back. I also am seeing a tweet from Barry Jackson of Miami Herald that, according to a source, the Dolphins are now moving to enhance COVID protocols. You've seen some teams do this already when they've had what is considered an outbreak of sorts, meaning that everything goes virtual. Their team meetings go virtual. It does say they will practice together but meet virtually. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the things that evolves from these recent outbreaks, that almost all the teams go to these enhanced protocols proactively.
Might be the whole league doing this sooner rather than later. Also, Javon Holland, who is just an outstanding safety for them, their second round pick out of Oregon, is on the reserve COVID-19 list. So while for our purposes, fantasy purposes, it's more about the offensive guys, they'll be compromised on both sides of the ball. They play the Jets this Sunday, so we'll see whether the Dolphins can still get a W. What do you got, Daniel?
Field, did you, and Stefania, you may have said this and I just missed it, but do we know Jalen Waddle's vaccination status to know whether or not?
Don't know anything.
Don't
know anything yet.
Okay. I will point out, Malcolm Brown was designated for return on Wednesday. Yep. So Malcolm Brown also could be available.
All right. I think it really comes down to, like, if you're playing the Dolphins wide running back right now, how lucky do you feel, right? Like, you have no idea.
Yeah, but you may have no choice. Depending where your marbles are around the league, you may be stuck with one of these options.
Very true. Very true. All right, we'll keep you updated. Again, this is in some ways the story in sports right now. It's been a big story in the NBA and the NHL, certainly the NFL as well. Let's hope that all things get better going forward here.
Yeah, by the way, Devontae Barker, obviously, I already liked him anyway. They're playing the Jets. It is a good matchup for this offense. So more secure Gesicki, with starting Parker, Gesicki a little bit. I think they'll probably get creative with Albert Wilson, maybe move him around. Waddle's a slot, right? So they don't have, I don't think, a clear slot receiver right now on the roster. Albert Wilson maybe will handle that. Then they'll have Matt Collins and Preston Williams, I would think, rotating on the other side like they were while Parker was out. So that's probably how they deploy it, but I think you just, you know, bump a few guys up and that's what you're looking at.
We all know where this is heading now, right?
Yes, we do.
Earlier, Mike was like, what are you going to play, like Albert Wilson over Tyreek Hill? Wilson's going for like 10.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
It's going to be like 10 for 61, but it's still going to be like 10, 61 and a 1 yard touchdown.
He's absolutely going to outscore Tyreek Hill.
Right.
There's no question.
If that happens, clip this off right now. All right. Time now to get to one of our favorite portions of the week. It's our wide receiver cornerback matchups conversation. And I would describe Mike Clay is the Cooper Kupp of authors of wide receiver cornerback matchups. Not only does he have excellent hair and can break down a defense, but he's the best. Just like Cooper Kupp's the best wide receiver, Mike is the best at writing wide receiver cornerback matchups. Mike, let's dive right into it. The premise is very simple. People are probably sick of me explaining it. If you are a wide receiver with a bad matchup, we downgrade you. If you are a wide receiver with a good matchup, we consider upgrading you. Where do we begin this week?
All right, we're going to start out here with the Chicago Bears going up against Minnesota, a team that I thought would be much better defensively this season. They've been up and down, though. And frankly, they just have not been able to slow down wide receivers. The most fantasy points allowed to receivers for the season over the last 8 weeks and over the last 4 weeks. So it's not getting any better. They continue to struggle against that position. The ninth most to the perimeter, which is outside receivers, which is where Mooney spends a lot of time. And Robinson at times is out there as well. He's been playing more slot this season, but gets work out there. Also the sixth most to the slot. So just across the board struggles. It's been even worse as of late. They're top five in pretty much every category to wide receivers this season. And look, Patrick Peterson, he's missed some time. He was on the COVID list, had an injury. He's been fine. But the thing is, you're going to have about two-thirds of your routes for these guys coming against Mackenzie Alexander and Bashaud Breeland, and they just haven't played very well this season. So not worried about that. Robinson, I still don't think he could start him. I mean, he has one top 45 fantasy week this season, which is unbelievable that that is the case. But still can't start him. He does get a slight boost. Maybe you'll look at him in DFS. But Mooney, two straight duds now, but before that had three straight top 15. So you feel a little stronger about him in this matchup.
I would love to know what that just was.
Yeah, what happened?
I have no idea. No, Stefania's back here. She just made a noise.
Not at you, Mike. It's something.
No. Don't worry, Mike. She wasn't paying attention to your analysis. She's looking at something.
She's just watching videos. She's like, I'm not going to talk for a while. I'm just.
She's on TikTok right now.
She's watching.
Definitely on TikTok.
Viral video.
She's watching Gary Streisky's latest TikTok. Funniest TikToker at ESPN.
You know what? Yeah, Gary, my neighbor, actually. No, it was not. It's not anything you said, Mike. I'm actually trying to scroll to find things that are breaking news because I'm assuming there are going to be other teams with issues. And every so often, as you perhaps know, if you ever scroll social media, something funny pops up even when you're trying to do a serious search. I tried to suppress it and I giggled. And of course, the mic picked it up and here I am.
That was probably one of my funny tweets.
No, she saw Matthew's wide receiver ranking for weeks.
That's what it was.
All right, let's get back to the wide receiver cornerback rankings. Wide receiver cornerback matchups and what it means for those rankings. And when I think about this column, I think about this matchup specifically. It is Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. Mike, you were on the scent of this a long time ago, before it was trendy to be on the scent of what it means for Mike Evans when he faces off against the Saints. What does it mean for Mike Evans?
Yeah, it means we have to downgrade him a little bit. Lower expectations, right? It's rare to have a sample this large of one guy shadowing another guy over and over and over again. Usually it's just a few occasions. Mike Evans has played the Saints in 10 times, 10 games, obviously, in the same division since he was drafted. He's averaging 10.4 fantasy points per game.
That is not
what you expect
not good.
From Michael Evans. So he shadowed him in 8 of those games, obviously. So he's been on him a ton throughout those games. That includes earlier this season, right? Now, Mike Evans, he was on him 30 of 41 routes, right? It was most of the game. Evans did score a touchdown. So if you started him, you're like, phew, I got the touchdown that bailed me out. He had four targets in that game. Lattimore was all over him, right? Targets in a situation like that is usually, charged to the corner, essentially, right? If they're heavily targeted, they're probably open. If not, they're probably not open. But Lattimore did a really nice job on him. And that has been the case when he has shadowed other top receivers. Davante Adams, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, he shadowed all four of them. They averaged 11.7 fantasy points per game, right? So it's been throughout his career. It's been this season when he shadowed. He has been successful. I will throw this in. We're going to downgrade Evans for sure. We can upgrade Chris Godwin because the Saints overall have allowed the sixth most fantasy points to receivers. They run a zone for the most part, and it has not gone so well. Chris Godwin in the week 8 meeting, 8 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. He's been heavily targeted lately. No Antonio Brown back yet. It's still going to be the Godwin show, I think, in this game. We're upgrading him, like him a lot, but Evans, again, gets a small bump down.
I am not worried about this not being in play, but I'm putting it on the radar here. Like, if for some reason Mike Evans struggles this week, I think he has a monster week 16, 17, or 18. He's got 115 yards to reach 1,000 for the season. As we all know, he's never had less than 1,000 yards in a single season to begin his career. The Bucs will make sure one way or another he gets that, and he gets it comfortably as well. So I do think better days are ahead for Mike Evans, even if there is a tough matchup this upcoming week against the New Orleans Saints. All right, so the 49ers, Mike, they play against... not the Seahawks on Sunday. I was going to say the Seahawks, but they don't play the Seahawks on Sunday. They play against the Raiders. No, they don't play against the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we got Stefania's attention now. Yeah, I wonder
you do.
Why.
Yeah, you do.
49ers.
49ers.
Well, went on.
No. They don't play. They play against the Falcons this upcoming week.
Okay,
I don't know.
Falcons.
I was like, what's fine?
You know what it was?
You
know what? In my mind, because I'm trying to impress Mike, feel that I'm paying attention. Don't call attention to my mistake. I was seeing Moreau and thinking of the Raiders.
Foster Moreau.
And,
I screwed that up because earlier this year I called Foster Fabian.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'm the one that confused
it
first.
Right?
No, I screwed it up. It's
Moreau,
my bad.
And they're not related.
The first names
they're not related, believe it or not. Yes.
Speaking of screwing it up, Mike, why is Deebo Samuel on the wide receiver cornerback list.
Yeah,
he's obviously a running back now.
Yeah. Wow. Good call, dude.
Look, you know, I've been thinking about that. Obviously, we've gotten a million questions. Should we make him RB eligibility, right? I mean, he did have, what was it, 8 carries last week?
Yeah.
And
one catch.
Those were all of his snaps in the backfield. He almost completely lines up a wide receiver, and that's where some of the carries come too. But it was like 8 or 9 snaps at running back. Almost all of it still comes at the wide receiver position. He's not being targeted like he was earlier this season because he's running the ball. So it's kind of a tough one. I think this late in the season, there's no need to make that change, but that's a completely different discussion. The fact is, he has a good matchup this week, as does Brandon Ayuk, who really is their number one wide receiver at this point. The Falcons just continue to struggle against wide receivers. 4th most fantasy points allowed overall, 2nd most to the perimeter, 10th most to the slot over the last 8 weeks. Again, it's just been a struggle for them. They've let 16 touchdowns to wide receivers. That is 4th most in the league. And all this comes despite having A.J. Terrell locked down on one side. He doesn't shadow. He just plays one side. He is the number one graded corner at PFF. He's, you know, his numbers are good.
He's
not targeted a lot. When he is targeted, he's been pretty good with very few exceptions. Super high ratings across the board. So Darren Hall in the slot, Fabian Moreau on the other side, those guys have struggled a lot. They've allowed a ton of fantasy production. That's why we're upgrading the 49ers wide receivers. By the way, Samuel and Ayuk, about 30-35% of the time, they'll see Terrell in this game. So not a perfect matchup by any means, but they'll see the other guys enough that we like the matchup.
Okay, looking forward to that game on Sunday. Again, the 49ers against the Falcons. Both teams very much in the playoff picture. Stefania's 49ers sitting very pretty. The Falcons, somehow, some way, if they get a win on Sunday, they're
crazy
right back.
That's crazy.
Have been... Arthur Smith finding a way for the fighting Falcons. One more here. And of course, on Saturday, the Patriots play against the Colts. The game is in Indianapolis. No weather concerns there whatsoever. So they'll be able to throw the football a bunch on both sides, Mike. Michael Pittman Jr., what kind of matchup does he draw on Saturday?
Yeah, a tough one. I mean, the Patriots' pass defense has been fantastic this season. J.C. Jackson's been awesome as a shadow corner. And look, and by the way, I do think Jackson will shadow Michael Pittman in this game. He lines up in the perimeter about 80% of the time. It's a natural fit based on what we've seen from Jackson this season, and he also will go to the slot occasionally. About 10-12% of the time this year, he is lined up in the slot. So even if Pittman moves inside, you could see him on upward of 90% of his snaps. So tough matchup. Patriots defense has been terrific against wide receivers. 4th fewest fantasy points allowed this season, 5th fewest to the perimeter, 2nd fewest to the slot, and the fewest in all 3 of those categories over the past month as well. So they've been really good. Also have allowed the fewest receptions to wide receivers this season. It's just been a really good bounce back by them this season. A lot of personnel changes in the offseason, and it has worked. And again, Jackson, their best corner. He's going to be on Pittman in this game. Tough matchup across the board.
Looking forward to that game on Saturday night. That much is for sure. Again, 2 games on Saturday. First, the Raiders and the Browns. The Browns very shorthanded because of COVID issues and the Patriots.
Can I just say one thing about that with the Browns?
Yes.
Just to remind people, as of yesterday, they had 17 players and 2 coaches on the COVID-19 list. And so there was a question asked about the possibility of the NFL moving that game, given the deficit that the Browns will be operating at. And as of now, there has been no discussion of moving the Browns game. So as of now, that game stands at the same time that it has all along. We'll see if that changes, but I think that's perhaps the biggest one to watch because it is on Saturday, and obviously there are concerns given the number of players absent.
I suspect it'll remain on Saturday, especially because the Browns
made it clear all along that they plan to do that. Yep. But you never know. Like in this time, you never know. So I just wanted to let people know that it's not like the NFL hasn't discussed it. It has been a topic, but they have no plans to move.
And if they don't bump that to Sunday, like you would think they're not going to move any games this season, right? Barring something right, absurd, yeah. right? Because they have an option. Like you would think that's at least, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, but again, if you kind of have that opportunity, like let's move it one day, let's just move it to Sunday. If they don't do that, then I don't think you're moving anything, including the Eagles game Sunday, right? The Washington's in a similar situation.
Sure. Yep.
I think, you know, it certainly seems like the plan is for the show to go on.
Washington, Cleveland, both at 18 players in the reserve COVID-19 list. The Rams are at 16 right now in the COVID-19 list. Worth noting, the Browns play the following Saturday on Christmas Day against the Packers. So we'll keep an eye on how these COVID-19 issues right now impact this week and potentially next week as well. We're going to put a bow on this show with some social questions, at which point I pass that hosting baton over to Daniel Dopp.
Field social questions are brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance. Visit geico.com today. First question comes from Thrill. Celebrated his birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Thrill. Wants to know, Jalen Hurts or Taysom Hill this week at quarterback?
Gents? I'm going Jalen Hurts going up against Washington. They've been super generous to quarterbacks this season. They played a little bit better defensively lately, but they're missing a lot of personnel. I just mentioned it. You know, they have a lot of players out on the COVID list as well. So I think you're going Hurts here over Taysom Hill against Tampa Bay, much tougher matchup. And by the way, last week, that long rushing touchdown at the end bailed you out. I mean, he was going to underwhelm, certainly, where we had him ranked last week. So
lock it up, Mike.
What?
You lock it up. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You were a Dak guy this past week.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, I got that wrong.
Yeah. It's funny how people react to that stuff because, like, you know, we had the debate on fantasy football now and it was spirited.
Yeah. It was spirited. I got that wrong. I'll take the L on that.
But people, like, you know, I remember, like, a couple days later, I tweeted
something
like, I
supported you in that, Mike. I was on Team Mike. I was on Team Mike on Sunday. Just on Sunday.
Just on Sunday. Whoa. No. Just not usually, but just on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. No, look, you were right. I mean, even if he didn't get that, I still think he outscores Dak, right? He had a rough game. He had a much worse game than expected against Washington. So, but yeah.
Finally,
I'll take
Hurts
the L.
Can't
get them all, right?
I'm digging Jalen Hurts. All of us take Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because
You had to get that dig in there. I'm still agreeing.
No, I was going to tell you a story. A couple days later, like, I tweeted about something completely unrelated to that, and somebody was like, fade Mike Clay. He doesn't like Taysom Hill. I'm like, oh, like, now I'm tweeting about, like, ice cream, and it's like, fade Mike Clay.
I like Taysom one spot below you guys, so I'm a hater. Like, that's how it works, right? Yeah. Hey, I got it wrong. Hey, if you started Dak over Hill because of me, I'm sorry. I got it wrong.
I'm not forgiving you.
I can tell.
I was undefeated in my league. It was me and 11 kindergartners, and none of them can actually
the most function.
Yeah, I had the most points scored. Yeah. And I lost to Johnny, who literally doesn't have a phone, who's just defaults every single week. He started four players on a bye, but I started Dak Prescott over Taysom Hill, and Johnny, I lost. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. Man.
I'm going to reassess whether or not I start those guys that are projected to outscore my players in my starting
lineup. Wow.
You know what I mean? I picked a bad week to be Santa Mike. Should have stuck with Prison Mike.
Yeah, you can't. It would be better.
Trying to be nice here.
All right, a couple more real quick. John wants to know, if the Lions shut down DeAndre Swift, does Jamal Williams become the guy, or is it still a committee?
I think it's pretty clear that if DeAndre Swift is out and Jamal Williams is playing, he's the guy. Like, we saw some good things last week from Craig Reynolds from?
Kutztown.
Kutztown University. It's basically the Ohio State of Pennsylvania in terms of football prowess. And but still, I think, you know, practice squad player versus a guy that they signed for $7.5 million this offseason, like, he'll be the guy.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter did say on Sunday on Fantasy Football Now that he expects, if Swift is shut down, for Reynolds to maintain a role that can mean 8 carries and nothing else, right? Just like this past week where he had, what, a handful of decent share of carries and 2 targets. That was with Jamal Williams. So I agree. Williams would be your top starter at that position. I think Reynolds would be second in line.
Okay, 2 more. This one comes from Eric. Wants to know, Brandon Ayuk or Devontae Parker this week? We're actually going to talk about one of these players in the upcoming CSS DFS podcast, Mike Clay.
I tell you what, this news surrounding Jalen Waddle, I think I would lean towards Devontae Parker here.
I'm still going Ayuk because we just talked about good matchup. Atlanta allowed top 5 in fantasy points allowed to receivers. Really good matchup. So I'm going to stick with him because he has been very productive as well. But I do like Parker a lot. I think Parker is a guy. And honestly, before this question was asked, maybe now you try to find a way to get both in, depending on your other options. But I would rank them Ayuk first, then Parker.
How about this? Get a little skin in the game here, right?
Like, all right.
If I win, you pay my car payment next month.
Yes.
If Mike wins.
If Mike loses, you pay my car maybe next
okay.
month.
Okay.
That works. I mean, look, I have to run the numbers, but I don't see how I could lose here.
So you get to pay my car payment either way.
Either way.
Yeah. Do you have a car?
I have a car.
Oh, you do?
He does. I have a car.
I'll get back to you.
Chapin bought
a car. Do I have a car? What do you got? Uber to work every day?
I just assumed you had a private jet that takes you everywhere.
Wow. I don't have Matthew or Stefania money. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I would think that's it's more of one of those like self-driving cars, seeing as how you don't know how to get from farm.
I just run. I literally run to work every day. That's my workout.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. You're in good shape. You can do that.
Keep my hair in place.
Last one, real quick. This comes from Loth. Wants to know, flex Rashad Penny after last week's massive game or Michael Gallup?
I'm assuming that's PPR. Gosh, it's really tough to fade a running back that's going to get probably 20 touches in the game. I have been encouraged, though, by Michael Gallup recently. 9 targets this past week. I'm going to go with Penny. I know it's a worse matchup, but I'm going to go with Penny here, Mike.
Yeah, Rams have been really good. Second fewest fantasy points over expected a running back. So when they run on, they're pretty effective. So I'm actually going to go the other way because Pete Carroll went out of his way to say the other backs are going to continue to play roles. I know Penny's been the best and coming off a big game. I like him a lot, but he's teased us like this before too. He had a very similar game in week 13, 2 years ago.
Wow.
A huge, almost the same exact fantasy point total. And he hasn't had one anywhere close to that since. So as someone who used to be a very big Penny supporter, maybe he's still a little gun shy because, you know, you get burned a lot by the same guy. You know, at some point it becomes a trend. So I'm maybe a little conservative on the projection. I'm going to go Gallup. He's been pretty good. Good matchup. I'm going to lean that way. A little safer. Anya?
Yeah, I'm going to go Gallup too. I think the Seahawks can't help themselves. They have to run by committee. And Rashad Penny has had injury concerns before. He looked fantastic. I love how he looked, but they might overthink it and not use him as much. And I agree. Michael Gallup's been that. If you look at the target share, he is one of Dak's favorite receivers right now.
Yeah, man, I am the dissenter. I am the lone wolf on this show today. Great show as always. Thank you to Mike Clay for joining us. And check out the CSS DFS podcast right in the Fantasy Focus feed. It's wonderful information for those of you that want to make some money in daily fantasy. We are back tomorrow. A full preview of week 15. Wow, where has the season gone? For Mike, Stefania, and Daniel on field. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Peace out.
No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.